It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
U Sports CEO Pierre Arsenault joins us to talk about the Canadian Football League's major rule changes, which include moving the uprights to the back of the end zone, shrinking the end zone from 20 yards to 15 yards, taking out 10 yards in the middle of the field, so there'll be no more 55-yard line, at least in the Canadian Football League, and then some tweaks to the rouge where you can't kick the ball essentially directly out of the end zone, plus the play clock timing. But I think, Pierre, for you, the biggest ones that people feel like could have an effect on U Sports or are wondering about, will U Sports sort of fall in line and be uniform here with the Canadian Football League, would be the field size. And it seems like it could be easy to just simply move the goalpost from the front of the end zone to the back of the end zone. But there's a whole bunch of fields across this country, not just Canadian university football fields, but high school, amateur, on down the rest, that would potentially have to change. So how do you view these new rule changes as a whole and perhaps that decision-making process ahead for U Sports?
Yeah. Hey, Justin, thanks for having me. And it's certainly for I guess fans of the Canadian game, certainly some big news today. And we're digesting it in real time, the way that everyone else is. We found out this morning that the announcements were coming. And so we'll take our steps as we normally would. We'll involve the member schools, football playing schools, and the four conferences and really consult and digest the changes that the CFL has made and look at what's even possible from our perspective. Like, as you had indicated, the infrastructure piece of this, where changes to the fields could be a significant piece. And so we'll talk through that with the member schools and ultimately follow our processes on each of the changes and on the points to see the best direction to go in.
How did you personally find out about this? Because Stuart Johnston told me that he did talk to Football Canada and U Sports. So was it Stuart Johnston talking to you?
Yeah, Commissioner Johnston, was kind of him to reach out this morning and just ultimately give the heads up that this is what was coming. So we had a little bit of a heads up, and then just today, and then ultimately, it sounds like the process itself, for understandable reasons, I think was kept pretty tight. And then once it became public this afternoon, we've sent a note to our membership just saying that we're ready to go to work with you and talk through this with everybody and figure out what makes sense for our game and what makes sense, how that fits into kind of the entire amateur football system in Canada.
Many people who read or tune into Three Down Nation for our analysis and interviews understand how decisions are made in the Canadian Football League. By and large part, the commissioner, in this case, Stuart Johnston, has a big hand in it, but the Board of Governors is very integral as well. And Johnston said that there was unanimous support for these changes to happen. So I don't necessarily think that people quite understand how these potential changes could be made at the U Sports level. So we do have a little bit of time here if you want to go through it in detail.
Yeah, I appreciate you asking that. We have, in the case of football, we have 27 schools across the country divided into the four conferences. And for every one of our sports, we have what's called sub-technical sport committees. And so they would have representatives, both coaches and athletic directors and administrators. In this case, the conference representatives on the football sub-technical committee. So that group would be an integral one to dive through the details, ultimately arrive to some recommendations that could go forward to our sport committee. And then those goes as recommendations. The two decision-making bodies are either ultimately myself as CEO or the board. And so we would take those recommendations upward. And in a case like this where, the infrastructure piece of this, you know, can be a significant one. So we'd engage the schools, the football playing schools, and there's other knock-on implications as well. I mean, the fields that most of the football games are played on, most of our football playing fields on university campuses are also the soccer fields. They're also the rugby fields, and you know, rugby has their uprights on the goal line, and so there's a lot of considerations, and I think one of the one of the realities of that infrastructure piece is that over the immediate term, even if there is a move for amateur football and university football to move to the CFL's new setup, there might be a pretty prolonged period of time transition where you've got both field setups and that leagues are playing with the new version when they're maybe doing a renovation of their field anyway, and they're playing with their existing field until such time they can get there. All of that is a little bit of just prognosticating on my part. I think just trying to be real about the infrastructure part of it. But those are the conversations we'll have, whether that's even a palatable option that while we transition and if there's interest in going to the CFL field dimensions, the new ones, is it, how real is it going to be that we play on both formats? Just like in Major League Baseball, all the fields are, Fenway's a lot different than Rogers Stadium. And so, there may be a period of time that's one of the things we'll discuss is that the reasonable thing to deal with these, these big infrastructure changes?
You mentioned the infrastructure changes. And from what I understand, even at the CFL level, NFL level, youth sports level, and perhaps even below with some of the private schools or programs that have these turf fields, like the cost for a new field can be in and around $1 million. So that's, very significant with what you're talking about. And I don't think some people would have even thought, I didn't, about the knock-on effects that you mentioned with the shared facilities at the majority of youth sports schools. Like I went to the University of Guelph, and they're fortunate to have multiple fields there. But if a school isn't so fortunate to have that, there are going to be some realities in terms of these decisions. Now, the CFL isn't going to move to the goalpost at the back of the end zone until 2027. So can you envision U Sports potentially being in line with that timeline? Or how long do these types of decisions typically take for U Sports to have happened one way or another?
Yeah, first of all, I would say it's too soon to say in terms of how our members in the conferences make sense of this. And then, when you look at a rule like the play clock, or when you look at the Rouge, the modifications they've made to the Rouge, things that are playing regulation specific, we can move with some amount of speed to debate and decide whether or not that's something that makes sense and have that change approved. And so some of those moves, whether or not it makes sense, if we came to that conclusion, could get introduced in a pretty timely fashion. And then the infrastructure, I think we'll really wait and see. I mean, the reality is, everyone's field that they're playing on of our 27 schools is in some version of the cycle right now, that some will be replaced next year, some are 5 years away, some just got replaced or are being replaced right now. And a field has a normal life these days of somewhere between 10 and 15 years. But if you look at those fields that are all the lines and all the numbers, all of the hash marks, everything are stitched. If they're stitched into that field, there's not an easy option to turn that into 100 instead of 110 yards and to turn that into a 15-yard end zone. So, yeah, we'll spend some time on that part of it for sure. And talk about, and that's what I was saying earlier. I mean, even if there's interest in going as quickly as possible, there might be a pretty prolonged period of transitioning fields. And that's even premature to say that, because I think the most important thing is that we go into the conversation showing the understanding for the realities on our members' campuses and what's reasonably within the control as we have these discussions.
U Sports, and the stats would bear this out, Pierre, you all know, has become the top feeder system for Canadians going into the Canadian Football League. And there are many stars in the league now that start at U Sports schools. I think of the Philpott brothers, Tyson Philpott, Jalen Philpott, have become arguably elite receivers in the Canadian Football League. Tyson Philpott has one of the most clutch plays, let's call it, in Grey Cup history. So when you think about that and how U Sports has, you know, helped out the CFL with the student athletes going there for professional careers, would you have liked to have been consulted about these potential changes?
Yeah, we're very proud of our connection with the CFL. We're very proud of all the things that you've described. I think it was almost 200 CFL players that started on the 9 opening day rosters.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Across the league and you know, every week watching U Sports players having meaningful impact on a CFL game is something that's really cool. And we feel the authenticity of the CFL wanting to build and strengthen the relationship with the university game right now, and wanting to elevate that story as well, that how significant the U Sports players are in the stories of their league. I suspect that their decisions around these rules were pretty, it's a pretty complicated matter and pretty involved. And it sounds like it was a pretty tight circle that was really navigating and negotiating. And sometimes those realities, everyone has their own vantage point, but you don't understand fully anyone else's. And so I'm sure that those were complicated matters and complex. And for us, ultimately, we want to continue to make sure that there's good pathways for our players to move forward as professional players in CFL.
There's so many of them in the Canadian Football League that are starters at a high end, making a difference. I think the Philpotts are probably among the best at the moment right now in terms of that example. You know, Stuart Johnston has shown that he works fast, Pierre. So there's a couple of items out there that I think CFL fans and Canadian football fans have been wondering about. And one of them, and I asked Stuart Johnston about this, would be the potential for having, let's say, your Labor Day weekend rivalry games coincide with some of the university rivalries that happen. You know, I think of how big the Saskatchewan Rough Riders Labor Day Classic is against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And I've been there the last couple of years, fortunately, thanks to Harvard Media and 620 CKRM out in Saskatchewan for bringing me along for those broadcasts. But I thought, okay, there's so many fans in town here on Saturday already for that weekend. If you had the Huskies and the Rams play on Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening at Mosaic Stadium, that could just potentially benefit everybody. Like, you could have a lot of butts in seats for that game. Same would be for the Toronto Argonauts and the Hamilton Tiger Cats playing their Labor Day Classic on the Monday, right? If you had a game perhaps the day before between, pick the example, but like McMaster against Toronto, to sort of go along with that rivalry. And same thing in Alberta, Edmonton and Calgary playing in their Labor Day Classic, and then potentially the University of Alberta playing the University of Calgary. Are these ideas that you think could actually come to fruition, especially with the velocity that Stuart Johnston has approached his first 151 days with?
Yeah. I mean, well, first of all, thank you for going through and thinking through that. And I think every time that the media also kind of draws the parallels and the connections and draws the importance of that relationship to U Sports and the CFL, it just strengthens the narrative. And we're definitely interested in those real tangible collaborations. And it happens on every level. In every one of those instances, there's a relationship. You take Manitoba as an example. There's a relationship between the Bisons and the Bombers in the same community every single week. And I think all of those, they work hard to make sure they're at good places. And then you've got the conference implications of that. And then I think, with good reason, everyone gets busy figuring out the problems of their own situation. And then they realize after the fact, hey, we could have maybe, if we had looked at schedules, we could have combined that. So I do think that we'll continue to keep our eye on that. I mean, one of the things I would say is that we've got a pretty tangible example going on right now where with the Grey Cup being in Winnipeg, we've had conversations with the CFL about should Manitoba win our national semifinal, the Mitchell Bowl, is that same weekend. And we've had good collaboration, good cooperation. And I think a good spirit of understanding of the value of the used parts and as a system, and the value of the magnitude of our, you know, how proud we are of our semifinal, national semifinal. And so there's been a really good working collaboration around, you know, scenarios there, should Manitoba win.
You're leading me into my next question, Pierre. I don't know if you're reading my mind, but you mentioned the national semifinal, and, you know, for years, and I've heard this annually from CFL fans, like all over, saying, can we get the Vanier Cup back on the same weekend in the same city as the Grey Cup? Do you think that that is a possibility, you know, let's say in the foreseeable future?
Yeah, I remember distinctly watching, I think, McMaster and Laval playing in BC on that Grey Cup weekend. I was home, watched the game, and, you know, what an environment. I there's a lot of interest and a lot of spirit, and then ultimately what's happening is it appears as though the two league schedules are kind of going in opposite directions right now. There's the biggest challenge, which, I mean, it sounds, you know, the Grey Cup and the Vanier Cup are a week apart. And that sounds like, well, how can you not figure out a week? But it would mean university programs, you know, already, which are opening camps on the 9th of August, starting maybe playing games, like starting on the 1st of August and playing games on the 9th of August, so that you could be done in time for the Grey Cup weekend. And if I understand properly, I think the Grey Cup weekend might be moving even another week further ahead. And so the unfortunate reality is you know, if the schedules gaps kind of remain, it makes everything else kind of obsolete.
True, that's a valid point. But I can remember those games too. And then even the rematch in Toronto the next year had, I think, like over 30,000 fans at a packed Rogers Center before, I think it was the Argos won that Grey Cup in 2012. But like that game in BC Place was electric, the amount of overtimes, all that kind of stuff. So I just ask it because CFL fans ask me all the time. I'm like, I can't really tell you much more than just ask the people that are actually in there. And I think that would sort of lead to the next question, right? We've seen the conferences and U Sports as a whole really, I think, grow in terms of promoting their own product, right? From the conference standpoint, whether it's Canada West TV, OUA.TV, what the Quebec League is able to do with its rights deal with RSEQ, I think is a shining example. And then even in out in the AUS with AUS TV. But is there some way, somehow, where you can see a national weekly game coming together on a given network? I won't name one specifically, but is that something that's being discussed or you think is a possibility?
Yeah, well, first of all, I mean, thanks for talking about. I mean, you're absolutely right. The work that the conferences have done in very intentional ways to build the quality of their product and to build the reach and the breadth and the access has been that's been a huge part of it. And then obviously we come in as you get to the national semifinals in the Vanier Cup. We do talk about that, and we do talk about the best way. How do we align, or how do we kind of work in concert with the things that are happening at each of the conferences and but really help to elevate and draw, you know, because what I think is increasingly cool is U Sports fans around each of the regions are more aware and more interested in the stories of the other conferences as well and following. And I think now in this day and age with everything happening, social media and with the ability of streams, that's a more possible thing. And you know, we're pretty aware, certainly at the U Sports level and talking on a regular basis with the members and conferences about, you know, the more that you elevate the quality of that stream and that game, the more ready it is to be able to go on whenever opportunities present themselves. And so we would love that idea. And you know, all year long through the conference regular seasons, you know, we really want to play a role in just elevating those conference stories.
And I have to ask it just because, like, when I do a lot of my workout in Saskatchewan, right, the Huskies or the Rams fans are asking me, who's good in Ontario? Yeah. Like, if we get them down the line, or they're like, who's looking good out in the AUS? Because, you know, usually for the most part in the RSEQ, it's been Montreal and Laval, but McGill seems to have other ideas about that this year. Pierre, is there anything else that you want to add about any of the topics that we covered before we let you go? And we appreciate you sharing some time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And you know, as it relates back to these changes, we'll go to work with the members, with our conferences, and with, you know, Football Canada. We talked to Football Canada today. I mean, they're the same as anyone else, just kind of receiving and processing the news. And there's an entire amateur system that's going to try and make sense of what's possible, you know, built on a lot of municipal or school board infrastructure. So we'll work with all those groups and figure out the best place to continue ultimately to build the footprint of football in Canada. It's really cool to kind of see the consumption of the U Sports product just continuing to go up, and more groups, more social media outlets, more pockets of people trying to consume and tell the story. And that's the best part, is just telling the story of the student athletes. So we'll certainly keep working away at that.
Well said, Pierre. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, Justin.